The magnificent Dutch house stands as both sanctuary and prison for the Conroy family. Built in 1922 for cigarette magnates, this limestone mansion with distinctive blue windows dominates suburban Pennsylvania like an architectural fairy tale. When Cyril Conroy purchases it in 1946, he believes he's securing his family's future. Instead, he sets in motion decades of heartbreak. For young Danny and his sister Maeve, the house becomes their entire world, from its hand-painted ceilings to the stern Van Hobeek portraits whose eyes follow visitors across rooms. But for their mother, Elna, the extravagance is suffocating. How can she justify a dozen unused bedrooms while others sleep on Philadelphia's streets? The house represents something entirely different to Andrea, their future stepmother, whose fascination isn't with Cyril, but with the Dutch house itself. Andrea loved the house, the family housekeeper later explains. The rest of us were just furniture she hadn't picked out herself. After Cyril's death, Andrea's true nature emerges with brutal efficiency as she expels Danny with chilling words, "This is my house." From that moment, the house transforms from home to obsession. The extraordinary bond between Danny and Maeve Conroy forms the emotional core of their story. After their mother leaves, 15-year-old Maeve becomes 8-year-old Danny's surrogate parent, teaching him manners and checking his homework. Their relationship intensifies after being expelled from the Dutch house following their father's death. They develop peculiar rituals, particularly parking across from their former home to smoke and reminisce. "We were a Hansel and Gretel of the soul, forever walking back into the forest to find the trail of breadcrumbs we'd left behind." This ritual becomes both comfort and prison. When they discover an educational trust that covers unlimited schooling but nothing else, Maeve devises revenge. Danny will attend the most expensive schools possible, depleting the fund before Andrea's daughters can access it. This scheme leads Danny through medical school despite his disinterest. "You don't have to be a doctor," Maeve insists. "You only have to study to be one." Only Maeve's death finally breaks this pattern, forcing Danny to face life without his sister's guidance. Danny and Maeve construct entirely different narratives about their absent mother. With almost no memories of Elna, Danny pieces together fragments, her working for the poor and his father's dismissal that she was crazy, creating an image of someone selfish and unfeeling. Maeve, having spent 10 years with Elna, recalls intimate moments, sharing oranges, making cakes, their pioneer days. When Elna returns after Maeve's heart attack, these perspectives collide. Maeve embraces their mother without hesitation. "I love her. Don't mess this up for me." Danny remains coldly furious. Maeve challenges him. "Men leave their children all the time, and the world celebrates them. Our mother left, and she came back, and we're fine." Despite being disinherited, Danny receives his father's true legacy, his business instinct. During his junior year at Columbia, spotting a foreclosure sign becomes his spiritual awakening. Against Maeve's medical school dreams for him, Danny suddenly sees his future clearly, buying buildings, fixing them, collecting rent, just as his father had done. This creates tension, excelling at medicine without passion while his calling in real estate waits. His instructor recognizes this disconnect. "So, what are you doing here?" Danny's response, "I'm a jack," acknowledges his true nature. Building his real estate empire from scratch proves more satisfying than inheritance would have been. The Dutch house exerts a gravitational pull on everyone who encounters it. For Cyril, it represents triumph over poverty. For Elna, shameful excess. For Andrea, an obsession worth marrying for. Even in her mental decline, Andrea refuses to leave despite her daughter's pleas. The children's relationships with the house are equally complex. Maeve's displacement begins when Andrea moves her to the third floor. Later, retrieving her portrait, Maeve declares, "I don't want anything that was in that house. It will only make me crazier than I already am." Yet she cannot stop returning to sit outside it. Danny's connection evolves throughout his life. After being expelled, he becomes fixated on real estate, seeking to recreate the security the Dutch house provided. When purchasing his first brownstone, he works on it himself, physically rebuilding what was taken from him. The novel suggests places hold emotional resonance beyond their physical structures. They become repositories for memories, both painful and precious. This explains why the Dutch house remains unchanged for decades. When Danny finally returns, he finds not the shabby remains of grandeur I'd imagined in my dreams, but perfectly preserved, the silk drapes, yellow chairs, Dutch books in the glass-fronted secretary, even the silver cigarette boxes still polished and waiting. Is forgiveness possible after profound betrayal? Each character answers differently. Maeve embraces their mother's return without hesitation, despite 40 years of abandonment. I can use the time I've got to be furious, or I can feel like the luckiest person in the world, she tells Danny. This reflects how forgiveness often benefits the forgiver more than the forgiven. Danny clings to his resentment, believing forgiveness would invalidate their suffering. Only after Maeve's death does he begin releasing his anger. The novel spans 5 decades, showing how traumas reverberate through lives. Danny's present-day reflections are constantly interrupted by memories, creating a sense that past exists alongside present. Their ritual of sitting in Maeve's car outside the Dutch house isn't mere nostalgia. It's an attempt to process trauma. We'd made a fetish out of our misfortune, Danny realizes. What sickened me was not that we were stopping, but that we'd kept it going for so long. Time ultimately reveals unexpected connections between seemingly opposed characters as patterns repeat across generations. In life's final accounting, we must decide what to carry forward and what to leave behind. After decades defined by loss, the characters must choose their legacy. Danny finds fulfillment by accepting his natural talents rather than pursuing the medical career Maeve envisioned. Though Maeve dies prematurely, her influence continues through May, who inherits both her shortened name and her portrait from the Dutch house. "I'm going to give this to May," Maeve declares. "It looks like May." What survives of us may not be possessions or physical presence, but the qualities we pass to those who follow. Surprisingly, the Dutch house itself becomes a legacy worth preserving. May transforms it from a symbol of loss to one of possibility. Standing with her father, watching people dance in the ballroom, she declares, "My God, I love this so much." Danny's response, "It's your house," acknowledges that each generation must redefine its relationship to the past. When May replies simply, "Good, take me inside," the novel comes full circle. The house that once expelled Danny now welcomes him back, not as an owner, but as a guest in his daughter's life, a reminder that painful experiences can become foundations for unexpected joy.